Yesterday, many of the world's largest companies declared specific goals for subscribing to more sustainable practices at an event hosted by Walmart and Rogers. Ozarks at Largest Kyle Kellums was in Rogers yesterday afternoon and has more.
Yesterday, the John Q. Hammond Center in Rogers served as the epicenter for the future of retailing and sustainability. The world's largest retailer, Walmart, hosted a sustainability product expo with hundreds of vendors explaining their packaging, shipping, and product solutions.
The band itself is made from natural rubber, so it's a crop. It's highly renewable. The band itself also lasts for years in service, so it can be reused.
As you can see, we are not only providing the consumer products, like laundry detergents and the beauty care products like soap and shampoos and all that, but also half of the company is in the industrial side.
And with it, we've taken the label, the stale packaging, replaced it completely with digitally imaged front and backside. On the front,
the expo began with a high-profile roster of corporate CEOs joining Walmart's CEO, Doug McMillon, listing sustainability goals and projects. Companies including Coke, Pepsi, General Mills, and Kellogg's had details about new or existing plans to reduce emissions and increase sustainable farming practices. Tuesday afternoon, Kathleen McLaughlin, the president of the Walmart Foundation and the senior vice president of sustainability at Walmart, sat down to talk about the announcements and the goals behind the Sustainability Product Expo.
We're very excited. We have about 3,000 suppliers with us today. And they're folks that we work with day in, day out to bring products to our customers. And what's exciting about today is it's a chance for them to showcase their sustainable products, the work they've been doing on sustainable packaging, and also what lies behind those products. How did those things find their way from the farm or the factory or the ocean to the shelf? And what happened at each step along the way? And what are people doing about it to make it better? And that's the real work of this. We've been working for quite some time with many of these folks, and today we signed some formal agreements with a number of them to accelerate what we're doing and increase the sustainability of the products and the whole supply chain.
Let's talk about some of those agreements, because what do you have firm figures for what this could mean as far as changes or differences?
Yes, we do. So, for example, this morning we signed some agreements with suppliers pretty far up the chain, folks like Cargill and Monsanto and Dairy Farmers of America, and then some of our major manufacturing partners, so people like Kellogg's and General Mills and Pepsi and so on, about specific acreage that they're going to set aside to work on incrementally to improve farming practices in ways that are much more sustainable. So it's 10 million acres. We have very specific targets we've set out with them for greenhouse gas reduction and other impacts. So these are things like reducing fertilizer, reducing pesticides, reducing water, using technology to improve yields so that we can grow more food on less acreage and have less of an environmental footprint.
There is a sense of networking here. I mean, I know that often corporations or companies want to be protective of their intellectual property, even if that includes how to make something more sustainable or less expensive to produce, but there does seem to be a sense of sharing ideas.
Absolutely. A word that's been thrown about a lot today is the word pre-competitive. And that seems to be the buzzword, which is, you know, basically these are technologies that it's in everybody's interest to share because they're going to help the world address some pretty severe challenges we have around drought, around greenhouse gas, around toxicity, and so on. We live in a highly interconnected world. It's to nobody's benefit to operate in isolation, certainly in this arena. So the more we can share with each other, the better we'll be able to go about our business and really preserve the world for our children and our children's children.
Were there negotiations with PepsiCo or Kellogg's or General Mills?
Yes. I mean, we're constantly negotiating at Walmart with suppliers. That won't surprise anybody. And that's just sort of the way it works with all retailers and their partners. But what's exciting is the kinds of sustainability projects we're talking about today are in many cases things we've been collaborating with folks on for years. And with respect to the particular agreements this morning, the last few months we've had very intense, I would say more joint problem solving rather than negotiations about what could we do here. And the dynamic is very much, you know, Kellogg's, they're working on rice for their Rice Krispies, and they've got so many acres, and they've been trying to figure out ways to optimize the footprint there. We're working on some things with them and with others in related areas. How can we share what we've got? What would be a joint commitment we could make? It's much more of that sort of friendly, collaborative tone about what's possible.
Is it measurable to know what kind of influence that the world's largest retailer has when they have these agreements with one of the largest soft drink manufacturers, with some of the largest food providers in the world?
Oh, absolutely. We belong to something called the Sustainability Consortium. And this is really an industry body that many retailers are part of and other suppliers. And the consortium tracks the environmental footprint of every category and every participating supplier. So that's a very measurable tool that we use with the suppliers to say, how are we doing on the major elements that are of concern? And these are environmental issues as well as social issues along every supply chain. So that's something that we're all working on together and jointly tracking. So when we pursue these kinds of projects, we can see the results in that index.
We've mentioned some of the larger companies that are represented here. Who else is here?
We have 3,000 suppliers with us. So you can imagine it spans the gamut from the world's largest corporations to our smallest suppliers and even people who don't yet supply to Walmart but would like to. So it's a wonderful opportunity to showcase that entrepreneurialism and that innovation. And we're always looking for new ways to delight our customers. So this isn't just about big.
I don't mean this to sound cynical, but it's also good for the bottom line.
It's absolutely good for the bottom line. And sometimes people say, they almost talk about that as if it's a critique of companies pursuing this. You know, so people may say, well, you're just doing this because it's good for your business. Well, of course, I firmly believe it needs to be good for business as well as good for society, and that overlap has huge scope for progress. If we were going to only do things that were bad for everyone's business, you know, ultimately there'd be a limit to how much of that you could do. So, I mean, obviously, there are always going to be things we do that maybe aren't really helping the P&L, but they're necessary. But in the main, most of what we're talking about is what's going to allow us as people on this planet to be able to eat and wear clothing and have products for our entertainment and our households that are going to be sustainable for all of us.
Kathleen McLaughlin is the president of the Walmart Foundation and the senior vice president of sustainability at Walmart. She talked to me yesterday at the John Q. Hammond Center in Rogers as part of the Walmart Sustainability Product Expo. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Kyle Kellums.